Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. Thanks for listening to Around the House with Eric G. This is our number one of the radio show that's airing on April 18th, 2020. Thanks for listening. Hey, one little thing I want to clarify in this episode, just to make sure that everybody understands, when I'm talking about that garage door opener one, I wanted to make sure that you understand that the Chamberlain or even LiftMaster garage door opener works with Key by Amazon. What it does is it actually works with their system. So it's not that Amazon's hardware or software is in this, but it works with that Key by Amazon. So as long as you get that Key by Amazon, that works with the MyQ technology. And so that actually works with that for delivery. So as soon as you get that MyQ account set up, you actually go over to the Key by Amazon app and you get that, start having it packages delivered that way. So that way the certified Amazon delivery driver receives the one-time garage access validation upon arrival to deliver and secure the package until you're free to go get it. And my Morgue de Oregon video that was supposed to air on Wednesday this week got preempted due to coronavirus stuff, so it will be airing next week. So pay attention on Wednesday. I will post that video up for you all to check out. Enough about that. Let's head out to the show. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please.
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the, go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans. Oh.
Welcome to
Stop It! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder. Man, this weather, you can get that chainsaw out.
It is chainsaw weather. Speaking of weather, we are live from the garage.
And open air garage today.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that garage door opener I just installed, which will be, if you've been watching on Facebook Around the House with Eric G, you'll see that up on the Facebook page because this last week we did I did a Morgue de Oregon segment on it. And to be, well, let's talk about this real quick since we're just right there.
Yeah, we're right into the show.
We're into the show. Let's do it. So it was kind of funny. So I had the circa 1977 Genie Dangerous garage door opener.
I just have a thought. Now, and this is completely off base. Why is everything dangerous from 1977?
Because I was 7 years old and we made everything dangerous.
I was going to say, when it comes to the breaker boxes, to garage door openers, everything dangerous comes from 77.
So here's what it was. You know, I mean, and this is not me dogging Genie by any means, but this was just the era of lack of safety equipment on garage door openers.
Yeah, just get it done. Make sure it works.
Yeah,
it
shuts and closes. And nobody thought about, well, what happens if you have a kid or a cat get underneath it? So this did not have any of the door sensors. So this house, before we bought it, ended up having the garage door opener. Of course, they had already had a inspection done, you know, a home inspection done previous to us from the deal that fell through. So I could look through that and see what the issue was. And of course, it came up in the inspection. I'm like, well, no kidding. It doesn't have any door sensors. What I mean by door sensors is that it's that infrared light that goes across the bottom. So if you break that light stream, it says, ooh, something's under the door. I better open it back up again.
Yeah, and it stops and the light blinks and everything.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, all good. This didn't have it. So I replaced it. of course, you know me. I'm not just going to replace it with another basic door opener. So
going to upgrade.
Yeah. So we did a whole segment on installation of this new Chamberlain garage door opener, which is super awesome. And I want to say thanks to Chamberlain because I was talking about their stuff this last year when I've been giving my speeches on smart home technology and stuff. But the fun part with this garage door opener is that, one, it's super quiet. And you want to know how quiet it is. It's
quiet. Are you actually going to do it on air
here? You know, we could do it on air right here. Let me grab my phone. Yeah, because I can shut it with my phone. And what's cool is that when you're shutting it with the app and it's quiet, but it will give you a little bit of a warning in case someone's in the garage and you're shutting the door. So let's say I'm laying in bed, and I think everybody that's had a garage door at some point has done this.
Yep.
Where they go, did I shut the garage door last night?
Better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry, you know.
All the way down there to find out I shut it.
Or you didn't. Well, okay. Or the worst thing is when you get up in the morning and you go outside, you go out, get in the car, you go out
and
there.
Then and then you realize it's been open all night.
And then you have to do it. So right now I'm going to close the garage door. And of course, you can hear a little bit of noise in the background.
Alerts for whoever's
in. It's flashing lights. It's doing its thing.
Does it do this when, if you do it not from your phone?
No.
Okay.
It's just if I do it from the phone.
If you're not present in the area.
You can hear how quiet that garage door opener is. All the noises from my 1977 1,000-pound wood door that's doing it, you know. And so now it's closed, and it's done a really good job. You know, it does it quietly, and I love the app part of it because I can do that. But here's the thing that I thought was the coolest part of this whole thing is that, you know, people have their basic, and here goes opening again, people have packets theft, right?
Yeah.
Amazon packages get taken off the porch all the time. We see it in the news. What I like about that is that this garage door opener, your Amazon driver can open the door if you enable it and slide the package in.
Just by using the keypad?
Nope.
How can the Amazon driver open the door?
They have an app within their system that is enabled so they can actually open the door. If you enable this within Amazon, they can come in, open the door, slide your package under, and then it'll shut right behind them. The cool thing is the first thing I went was when I asked them about it, I was like, okay, so what happens when the garage door doesn't shut? They can't leave to their next stop until that garage door opener says it's shut. So they wait there. If it fails, if you have some kind of a breakdown.
A mechanical breakdown.
Yep. Yeah. Something breaks, won't shut. They have to wait for the garage door company to come over and they have somebody on call. I mean,
that kind of sucks for them, but it's a great safety feature.
It is. And that little camera that you see up there takes a picture of everything that goes on. So you do have a camera with a motion sensor that will do it. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you've got a neighborhood where package theft is an issue, it's an easy answer.
If you have a garage.
Well, of course. You don't have a garage.
I don't have a garage.
You've had garages.
I have. Yeah.
You stayed in garages.
Yes. It was a refurbished studio that was transformed from a garage into a studio. Yeah,
Give you a hard time.
I know.
Gotta give you a hard time. But anyway, so that was a really fun one. It took a couple hours, you know, and it took a couple hours because I had to rewire everything because, you know, it was all 1977 stuff up there. So I had the little low voltage one that went over to the switch was not right. And of course, there's no wires going down for the sensors. So it took a little bit more to get that done how I wanted it to be done. But a couple hours, we were good to go.
I'm surprised you didn't look into changing the 77 door. Seeing as you, and we can get into this in the next segment.
Yeah.
You've been freshening up doors recently.
I have been. Yeah. We'll talk about that in the next segment. The reason why I haven't done this one yet is I don't know. I mean, it's working fine. It's a little worse for wear. You know, it's got glass in it, which is cool. To put the door in it, I want.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be an expensive door.
Okay.
Because I want to use like the, you know, either go with the clear glass or the frosted glass in it, or at least partially that. But the problem is, I don't know with the additions and stuff that we're going to do, if this is going to yet end up being the garage.
You don't want to spend that kind of money on something that you really want to find out you're not going to use the space.
I don't want to spend that many thousands of dollars on a garage door to go, oh, I only used it for a year.
Yeah, and then got rid of the garage and did the addition or whatever
exactly.
You're going to end up
doing. You know, I mean, this is the temporary setup for now, so I'm just not sure until I know exactly what I'm doing yet.
Okay.
I've kind of tapped the brakes on that part.
I'm just checking.
You know me.
Oh, well, I'm going to ask you questions.
Oh, yeah.
And if people want to ask us questions,
There we go.
They can give us a call right here in the studio. Our number is 971-233-8992. That is a 24/7 call-in line. You're going to call, leave us a message. We'll call you back and record it. Again, 971-233-8992.
It's been funny. I want to talk about this, too, because, you know, we got that segment coming up. And then, the segment coming up that we're going to talk about in the next hour, which was my little curb appeal thing that I did, which is super fun. But I tell you what, I'm a moderator for different groups and on Facebook. And I tell you what, some people are getting some cabin fever out there.
and the fuses seem to be getting shorter and shorter.
It's getting kind of crazy. I mean, I was on one of the pages the other day, and it's not ours, but there's some great people out there. And when you've got a group that's got so many people in it, you're going to have some short fuses in there.
It's just going to happen.
But I was going through and deleting out F-bombs, like click, 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 out of people's comments. It's like, come on, people, be kind.
That's flavor text. You don't need to say that.
No. I mean, it just, you know, and it was just dumb stuff. It wasn't even something like, it was just people. You could tell there's some short fuses out there.
So let's all take an extra deep breath.
Get outside.
Focus on our stuff. Let's not worry about other people and just take care of our little section.
Just because you don't like the color doesn't mean that they don't love the color. And most importantly, it's not in your house.
Yep. You don't have to deal with it. You might have to look at it, but.
Yeah. Well, if it's in your house, bad. It's one thing. That's an internal thing and that we got to pay attention to. But, you know, really, if you're on social media and if you don't like the color, you can say, I don't like the color, but I don't know if F-bombs and stuff are the right way to go with that.
Please share your opinion, but man.
All right, we'll share your opinion just as soon as Around the House returns. Back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Hey, give us a call in the studio, 971-233-8992, and make sure you follow us on social media because we're just about everywhere now. Not going to do the TikTok thing, but I tell you what, Facebook's kind of the main one to hit. And, of course, we're on Instagram. We've been expanding more on
Instagram.
Doing more on Instagram, doing a little bit more here and there. And, of course, I'm on LinkedIn as well. But got to be putting more content out. And we're going to be hopefully doing some videos soon here in the studio. So you'll be catching that as well, doing some live stuff.
So, and as well with our show page, which is Around the House with Eric G on Facebook, there's also our private group, which is Around the House Nation. You have to ask to join. But basically, we've got a few hundred people that are in there. Everyone likes to share their projects. We've got experts. We've got jokes, all sorts of stuff. Just ask to join. We'd love to have you.
Oh, absolutely. And make sure you hit us up on the website, which is aroundthehouseonline.com. Because over there, we've got everything from the home of the podcast to some of my Morgue Day Oregon videos, as well as don't forget the store. We've got a merchandise store over there as well that you can hit. So that's one of those that you dive into this website, you can find it. Get yourself a hat or a coffee mug.
Yeah.
Even some short shorts.
Really? Do you have short shorts on there?
Not really.
Okay, thank goodness.
Coming soon, but we do have crop tops.
Well, we've got a new idea. Yeah, we do have crop tops. We have men and women's clothing.
Yes, absolutely. So it's all there for your enjoyment. So anyway, and that's a challenge for you guys out there. I want to see this summer. You know, everybody's going to be getting out soon. It'll be happening. And then I want to see that Around the House gear out there in some funny places. So make sure you take a picture with yourself with that. Post it up on Facebook. Tag the Around the House page. We'd love to see it.
We'll shout you out on air.
The funnier, the better. The funnier, the better. You want to be a YouTube star? Do a video. So anyway, it's been kind of, you know, it's been fun. I've been really kind of playing catch up on starting to get some of these more Good Day Oregon videos going. It's been super fun getting some of these projects knocked out. You know, we knocked out last week the garage door opener, and then we did the curb appeal segment.
This project looks really good.
It turned out. Thanks, man. So if you haven't been following this, and this will be airing this next week, and it hit social media early because I sent it over to my friend Pooji, who you heard on from Miller Paint here. I had sent her a picture of it because she helped out with this, and she'd actually talked Julie and I into this color. We were bouncing around colors on this front door, and so what this project is, I know I've been a little evasive here with it, but it was a front door refinishing my 1977 front door and putting on a very nice Baldwin Hardware smart lock setup.
Okay.
And so we were thinking at first, you know, seafoam greens, reds, oranges, that kind of
stuff.
Goes
well with the area. Yeah.
Yeah, just that kind of stuff. You know, it's still trying to, you know, it's mid-70s, so it's still got kind of that late end of the mid-century vibe going because it's a contemporary house, and trying to do something with it. It's been just this, you know, cream beige color since we moved in, and wanted to kind of dive in and add some color to it. And I have to give Pooji credit for it over at Miller Paint because she was the one that was like, you should try this. Go look at it. It was at the home show. She was like, get up there and take a look at this door that we did. And I showed Julie because she was there, and we're like, okay, we're sold on that.
Well, wasn't this one of their colors of the year?
This is Lioness.
Okay.
What's funny is that before this whole lion craze that's going on right now.
Well, tiger, lion, whatever you want to call it.
Same kind of thing.
The big cat craze.
It's the big cat craze. You know, it's the big cat craze. And so it's been pretty funny that I'm like laughing that the big cat craze came out after their color of the year.
Well, and so what I want, because it's a vibrant yellow, is somebody who can't see it right now.
Yeah.
Is that about how you explain it?
Yeah, it's a vibrant, but it's not like it's just the toner yellow either. It's not bright toner yellow.
No, it's not neon.
It's not that bright, pure yellow, but it's got a little bit of, well, the color of a lion.
So you were saying that you and Julie were somewhat torn about this color. What were the positions? Why were you torn for this color?
Well, we were looking just down other color palettes. Yeah. We were going red, orange, green, and hadn't really thought about the yellow tones. And then she brought it up, and we went and saw it because it was on a door at the display. And I was like, yeah,
that pops.
That's it. You know, and so it's just the very beginning to what we're going to be doing to the front of this house because we've got so many other things. But really going and painting that and getting that worked out really well. It was a great exterior color they gave us, and the paint went on just beautifully. It dried just in time. What I mean by it gave me long enough time to work the paint and get it in there correctly. And then after that, it just dried quick. I mean, it was dry to the touch within the hour.
How many coats did you do?
I put two on there. I'm going to do one more. I'm going to do one light sand on it and do one more because I got a couple little bumps where I was painting outside. So, I got a couple little things in it that, yep, I want to get touched up and get it dialed in. But I'm going to get one more coat because you're pushing it when you're doing this TV stuff. I got a camera guy standing there. I need to keep him moving.
Get time. You need to keep, yeah.
Yeah, I got to keep it. And that's probably the biggest challenge with working on projects like this is I love doing projects around the house, but you have to stop and film them. And so it's like, okay, here's going to do this. Now we got to shoot some of this. And it takes longer to shoot it than just doing the project, of course, because you've got to go through the process, which it's still a lot of fun, and it's good TV practice for me anyway. But the door lock is the fun part.
I was going to say, how did that go in?
Went in well. It fit right through. It didn't have to do any new machining to the door. It fit in there. I just had to drill one hole and get it lined up. And so what I like about that whole thing with that I think that's cool is now I don't have to worry about keys for the family to get in. You put your code in, hit the button, opens the door. I can give other people temporary codes. I can set it up with my smart home system where it'll make sure the door's locked at night. You know, there's a lot of cool things you can do.
Automatically, yeah, between certain times.
Yeah, it'll lock the door if you wanted to. I mean, and if you've got help, like say you have a house cleaner coming over, or you've got relatives coming over, you can give them a temporary key that works during these times. And then you're good.
Yep.
So no need to go out and have a bunch of keys made because literally, you know, it takes four AA batteries and it works really well. And I wanted it with that yellow. I wanted that flat black. So that way it looked really cool and gave it a nice little punch to it. just to have that work well. So that was one of those things that that I think was fun with that project. And we're going to talk about some more projects. You guys about to break just as soon as we're out of the house. To make a better day. I can't keep it locked inside. It'll get you down. Don't lose sight. And it's not my intention. And it's not my time to die. No, I'm never going to leave it by the wayside.
Farewell, Angelina.
And you're listening to Around the House with Eric G. It goes down so smooth. Ooh, it makes me want to pour gold in this glass, 'cause that color red never looks so good, so good.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement. Our friends Farewell Angelina. I feel bad for them.
They've been stuck too.
They're stuck too, but Ashley lost her dad to the virus, so it's brutal.
Shoot.
Yeah, so feel bad for her. Thoughts and prayers out to her. Absolutely. And her family out there. It's just like, ugh. Hate to see that, and we're not going to go down that road with the virus talk today, but just thoughts and prayers out to those guys, because that was a shock for all of them. But, well, we're going to talk about fencing and stuff, but first, you know, I'm Eric G. with Around the House.
I'm Dane Vodder, executive producer.
You got it.
I'm going to put that in there.
Yeah, he helps me keep on track and helps make this machine go, so I appreciate it. And hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G., and make sure you hit us there, and make sure you hit the website aroundthehouseonline.com. But I wanted to talk today. There's so many people out there doing stuff, and we're live from the garage studio right now, and it's so nice outside. I got the garage door open. So if you hear any background of the motorcycles going by and semi-trucks and fire engines, we're enjoying the outside right now.
We're not going to stop recording just because people are driving by.
You got it. So it feels like we're outside and enjoying it. So it's one of those things that we're going to do. So fencing, you know, I decided, with the dogs and stuff, I have that dog area that I built before we moved in, mm-hmm. which is kind of if I wanted to describe it to you guys, it's a side yard really. And then I put a dog door that goes out to that. So that way, you know, with almost a half acre lot, I didn't want to have a quarter acre to clean up dog poo in the backyard. So I wanted to keep the dogs in the centralized area with field turf, grass back there that
easily
that,
manageable,
yeah, not tracking mud inside the house, that kind of stuff, and getting that lined up. But now I want to get it where the dogs can run outside and have a good time without, you know, almost like the dog park, but just let them run outside. So
when you want to, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We take them out, we're going to manage them outside, let them run around and have a good time. But one of the things that I want to do is get that fenced in so they wouldn't just kind of roam, because, you know, Rye, I love him, but he is a 100-pound beast, and when he wants to go take off, there's no way I'm catching him. that German Shepherd and him will take off.
Well, and it doesn't help that you are next to a fairly busy road.
Yeah, you know, we're far enough back, but I just don't want to get him out there anywhere near that. And he's good. He's done really well with staying in the yard, but I just want to keep it a little more dialed in. And then once we have that fence up, now we can define some of those spaces of how we're going to landscape, where we're going to plant plants, and start to get it put together. Already, with the job three quarters of the way done, I can already tell you that we've come so far as going, okay, this is how this is going to come together. This is how this is going to look. Let's plant this over here. And it's starting to come together. But I wanted to give some of my secrets of building fence, because this one is probably my most challenging one, because I've got massive trees. I've got, you know, these fir trees that go up that are, you know, 120-foot trees, and I have to stay well away from them. This is Lake Oswego. I cannot
run.
They are picky. I cannot just run a fence post up against the tree that's in the middle of the way of my fence run and go around it. That's not how this works here. That's how the city comes knocking on my door going, you put that fence too close to that tree.
And trust me, they will come looking.
Yes. So you have to kind of just tread lightly and stay away from those. And
So I've done that, which is cool. And plus, these trees are so big, if we have a windstorm and they start pushing around, it's going to bust my fence. It's just that quick. There's so much power there. It's going to bust stuff off. Well, one of the tricks, and I'm doing a 6-foot cedar fence in the back, and I'm doing it with, instead of vertical slats, I'm doing it horizontally. So I get that more contemporary look.
Yeah.
So the boards are going sideways versus up and down, which is really easy, and it's turned out really well. But one of my tricks with this is, of course, is you get out there with your stakes and some, you know, like mason string and get out there and create your lines of where you want it to go. And then what I did is I went around and started measuring off every 6 feet because I'm using 6-foot boards because for me, cost effective wide, a 6-foot board is so much less expensive than if I wanted to do 8-foot because 6-foot is a standard size for cedar. So it was cheaper for me to go that route and it looks cool. So I did that and I went around and marked off with marking paint like you see the road guys use out there, mm-hmm. you know, with the downward spray can of where I wanted to put those posts. Now, of course, digging with a post hole digger is easy, but one of the things that are one of my tricks that I want to talk about is that it's always good when you're digging these posts to make sure that a third of your post is underground. Maybe a quarter of it if you've got it, but third is kind of really the magic place to be. And so it's one of those things that you got to be careful with because sometimes you can dig down that far, sometimes you can't. And if you're out in an area where you get heavy freezes, you need to get down below the frost line because what happens is that frost heave will literally push that out when the frost happens and you get that really cold soil, it'll push it right out of the ground.
Compress it out.
It'll compress it out. It'll spit it right up out of the ground. So then instead of doing a 6-foot, you need to get taller posts at that point because really in some areas here, you need to get 3 feet down to do that. Well, if you're doing a 6-foot fence, now you got a 9-foot post, you need to get 10-foot post to do that. Because if you've got a 6-foot fence, you're only a third. You really got to get that extra foot in there to do it. Costs a little bit more money, but you know something? It's absolutely worth getting it down there. Well, one of my tricks when I'm doing a fence post is that when you take that fence post, I want to make sure you don't ever put the cut end in the ground if you're using pressure-treated material. Because what happens is when they pressure-treat these, they take a 4x4, they put it in and put pressure in it, and they put that chemical that keeps it from rotting, or it's supposed to reduce it from rotting. It's not a perfect situation. And they inject that into the post. Well, when they do that, you see those little dimples in the mark of the post. Well, it only gets the outside, you know, inch and a half or so. There's still a little bit of that core on the inside that doesn't get fully treated because it doesn't go all the way through it. When you cut that off, and if you don't put an end cut treatment solution on that and you bury it in the hole, now you've just given the whole center of that post a good place to rot.
Well, yeah, like you don't want to cut that off at all, do you?
Well, you're going to have to because you're going to have to cut the top to put the cap and stuff on it correctly. Okay. You are going to have to cut it. But so I put it in the ground, but what I do, and it's a smart way to do it, and I see other people have done this as well, is I take the flexible flashing and wrap it around it. So it's like a rubber butyl flashing that you do for like windows and doors.
Okay.
And it's almost like ice shield for a roof. It's just that membrane that you wrap around there, and it's sticky on one side. You peel and stick, you wrap it around, and you do that above where the concrete is. That will keep water from getting down in there, because what happens is, especially in rainy areas or wet areas, that post is going to expand and contract, and water will get around it, and it will get stuck in the bottom of that like it's a pool. Now you've got just water and wood sitting there.
Which is a perfect recipe for rot.
Exactly. Then it gets soft, and then it breaks off at the ground, and you're out there 5-7 years later doing it. If you wrap that up there, it gives you one more layer of protection, and it'll keep that post from wrapping up. So I'm going to do a Morgan Day Oregon segment on that, so stay tuned for that, and I'll show you how that goes. But that's just one of those good tips to keep that fence from rotting out. And it's not so much if you're in the country out in the desert someplace that you're not going to have the sun's going to do more damage than anything else. But really, if you're in those wet areas where you get a wet winter or wet summer or even springtime, it's just one of those things, if you get that heavy rain, just take care of it. It'll pay for itself and have to replace that fence.
Now, one question that I do have for you to go back on how you built the fence. Now, other than the visual aspect, is there any other benefits to going horizontal over vertical?
The way I built it, it was slightly cheaper that way because I cut out some 2x4s in it because I'm going the length of it. I'm not putting a top bar and a crossbar beneath that. And the reason why I'm not doing it at my house, and I probably easily could have, is to give it more stability. But we just don't have wind here like we do other places. I'm down in an area where it's pretty well protected.
Kind of a little gully.
I'm just not getting super exposed winds. Now, if I was building this where I was much more exposed, I would have built it differently. I would have built it where I would have had 2x4s in between the 4x4, between the 4x4 fence posts, and made it significantly stronger. I always build my fences for the area I'm in versus everything else, but it's just one of those things that once you get that kind of built up, I went that way. And of course I did some things. I want to talk about this in the next segment. I planned ahead and gave myself some access into that. So I made some areas where I could actually remove the posts and get into that. We'll talk about that just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
You know, couple things here first. I want to get everybody to join us on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And then hit us over on aroundthehouseonline.com where everything's at. I want to make sure you guys get into the studio here too as well. 971-233-8992. That's 971-233-8992. Man, you can hear the Harleys go by.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, we are live from Eric's garage studio today. So we've got the garage door open, 70 degrees outside.
Can't beat this in the Pacific Northwest, I'll tell you that right now.
No, man, we're having a good time out here. We've been talking outdoor projects as well. We've been talking decks. And coming up next segment here, we're going to have the first couple segments, we're going to be talking Bloom Pest Control because I wanted to talk to them a little bit about... You know, it's a couple things. I want to talk to them about these summertime issues, you know, and we put up on Facebook this last week, hey, we're going to be talking to Bloom, and a lot of people came in with questions, yeah. And so we answer those questions in this one here, but we only did segment one and segment two because I didn't want to do a whole hour of pest control, but here's the good news. Next week, our midweek special, we're going to air that entire interview, which is about a half hour. And so it's going to be a lot more detailed of the stuff that we talked about. So we're going to have some good stuff here in segment one and two. But I want to make sure you head and catch the midweek special podcast because that's going to give you the entire interview. And there's a lot of good tips in there that we just couldn't all fit into the show this week. So just make sure you check that out on Wednesday when that comes out.
And you should be able to find the midweek special basically everywhere if you find the podcast anywhere. But if just to be safe, aroundthehouseonline.com.
You got it. You got it. And we made things a little bit easier too, so we can find out. I've been doing a lot of, you know, kind of learning about podcasts because all we know is all we know. And so I've been working with our guys at Captivate over there and did some seminar things with them this week and learned a lot about stuff and been working with their executives on some stuff and learned how we could better organize things within our podcast. So you're going to see some stuff if you're on the podcast player. Seem to make a lot more sense. Our numbering is going to be sequential. I'm not going to have the midweek special be one episode number in the show. It's just going to be the numbers as they go because Apple is having a hard time with that.
Yeah, organization on different platforms can definitely cause some problems.
So we just said, okay, let's just keep this simple. We made those changes and got some great advice by the pros on that one. Well, here's the thing. I want to talk about, you know, when we're building these fences, about budgeting as well, because there's things that get expensive with fences, and it's not just the concrete. I mean, I made this easy. A lot of people, when they do, you know, when you go to put that post in the ground, a lot of places, unless you've got sand, you can get away without concrete. You can put it in the soil, tamp it down, and you're good to go. And it will work, especially with soil like around here. I could have probably gotten away with that.
We have clay or something. We got clay,
but I just like having that concrete in there.
Yeah.
Because it just makes a bigger, better footprint. And so thanks to our friends over at Quikrete, I love this stuff because it's quick. And it's right next to you, actually, right there, Dan, as you're looking at it. So, yeah, our friends at Quikrete really helped us out with this project, too. And so they brought over the latest, Kwikset Postmint stuff. And I just love that stuff because literally you can put some water in the hole, pour in the dry bag, water on top, and it's just going to set itself up. Done. And, of course, there's more to it than that. But, you know, it makes it very quick. I'm not having to hand mix concrete and put it in there, and literally I can give that stuff a little bit of time and I can move on to a couple other things, come back, and that same day I can be carefully putting the boards up on the fence and I'm good to go. And I like that versus, you know, regular cement where you put it in there and just the regular Quikrete stuff. And now it's like, all right, let's do this tomorrow. You know, if you want to, you know, just if you're doing posts all day, I guess it's not that big a deal. I just like it because it's thick enough. I can set it and forget it and walk off and get to the next one.
I guess it also really depends on how big, how long of a fence you're building.
Yeah.
If you're building a smaller fence, then yeah, I mean, it might not be a big deal to just set your posts, go and, you know, come back out tomorrow. But if you're doing multiple posts and a really big fence, I would think you'd want to do something that's a little bit quicker. That way you can kind of handle more in a day instead of waiting.
Well, and what I like about this is that because you're putting it in dry, it packs around it better. When you're mixing up regular concrete, it's a wet enough slurry that you have to brace the post.
Yeah.
So with this stuff, if you've got it in there and you've got a deep enough hole, the weight of the concrete in there really kind of holds it up straight. As long as you don't touch it, you don't have wind or anybody else bouncing into it, it's going to stay where it is. So I can really get going on it. So it's going to be great. Hey, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Bloom Pest Control. And then after that, we're going to wrap up our conversation about fence building. We're going to do that just as soon as Around the House returns. Join us for hour number two.
Thanks for listening to the Round the House with Eric G podcast. We really appreciate you listening. Now, one more thing to do. Subscribe to the podcast or just go in and leave a review so we can have some great comments to share with other people. And in the future, we're going to start putting these in the end of the show right here so you can catch them out as well. We really appreciate all of you listening to the show. Make sure you tune in all week long to AroundTheHouseOnline.com or just head us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. Have a great rest of the week, everybody. See you on Wednesday when we do the midweek special. Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.